Good morning, everyone. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. I'm really thankful to be here with the Big Apple Church, Manhattan region, New York City Church of Christ. And I've got some things I want to share today that I think can change your life. I think you can walk out of here today different than when you came in. Even if you came in feeling absolutely awesome, I think you can walk out on a higher plane today. But you've got to listen to what I tell you this morning. If you take these things to heart, I believe God can change your life. What a great series, something new, something new. And praise God, we're new creations. And we need to keep growing and keep learning new things. I want to thank John and Arlene for their service and leadership here in the region. And having the courage and the creativity to take on the Manhattanites. You've got to be special people to do that. And I'm glad that Josh is in there with them, holding up their arms as you hold up his arms. So it's good to be here, and we need to see more people added to the Manhattan staff if we're going to win this great city for the Lord. So really be praying about that. So we're going to be talking about new attitude today. A new attitude. I'm trying to get this work. That is not what I see something altogether different. Where am I? Okay, new attitude. All right, new attitude. Okay, I'm talking about something more than just positive thinking. You know, there are a lot of books written on how you need to think positively, and I think those are good books to read. But we're talking about a deeper motivation, a motivation that comes from our relationship with God and from the appreciation and the gratitude of knowing that Jesus died for us on the cross. The love of Christ is what compels us. It takes us to a place beyond positive thinking because we realize that life is not always positive. But because we have Jesus, because we are saved, because our destiny is eternity with God, we have a deeper motivation to have a great new attitude. Yes. Jesus is our role model. I think earlier is something... Yes. It's changing. I'm not touching anything. So, but I'm going to keep a good attitude no matter what happens here, okay? I'm going to keep a good attitude. I don't know what's happening. They can help me back here, all right? Back there. But your attitude can make the difference in 2018. If indeed it is the attitude of Christ. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, that your attitude in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, we know it very well. What's the problem here? Okay, help me out. Help me out back there. I'm going to let you guys help me out. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Right. Jesus had the most awesome attitude in every circumstance, in every situation known to man. Right. He never had what you would call a bad day when it came to his attitude. He had some challenging days, but he never went off and just pouted. He never just got so angry that he's like, I'm fed up. And so instead of healing people, I'm going to torture people. You know, he didn't just walk off on the river for 3 days and said, I'm tired of this. I'm not coming back. You know, Jesus had an amazing attitude. He had the best attitude, an attitude of surrender, an attitude of service, an attitude of selflessness. And our aim is to have the same attitude that he had for God's glory. Because if we decide to imitate Jesus, God can take us to some greater places. So I want to look at an example today in the scriptures of two men who were challenged to have the attitude of Christ. And it's Paul and Silas over in Acts chapter 16. And Acts 16, beginning in verse 16, I just want to read the story to you, all right? It's working now. I just want to read the story to you, and then we'll focus on this scripture up here. In Acts 16, verse 16, it says, "Once when they were going to a place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews who are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept the practice.' The crowd joined them in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in an inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. 'Sirs,' then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, Amen. He and his whole family." What a great story. You know, Paul and Silas are trying to do good. This woman, who is a fortune teller through an evil spirit, really gets on Paul's nerve after a while because she's following them saying, "These men know the way to be saved." And Paul, knowing Paul, after a while just said, I'm sick of this. You know, come out in the name of Jesus. But he didn't realize that in doing that, he was going to bring hardship on himself and on his dear companion, Silas. And so because of this, the men take them and they throw them in prison. And there they are in prison. And what do you do? I mean, this situation could have been gone down so differently. Right. But the Bible says about midnight. See, they stayed up late too. They were singing, praying, and singing hymns to God. Is that what you do when you're mistreated? Is that what you do when you're thrown in prison for doing something good? Because sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Sometimes we try to do good and things don't turn out the way that we hope, and our attitude is challenged. But here these guys are praying, and then God releases them from prison, and people are saved, brought to Jesus because of their faith and because of the tremendous attitude that they have, the attitude of Christ. And I want to encourage us today to walk out of here with that same attitude. You see, attitude makes a difference. Amen. It makes a difference. Totally. The situation that they found themselves in was an opportunity for them to give glory to God and to show us and to show the prisoners that if you continue to keep that the righteous attitude, that there may be deliverance. And even if there isn't deliverance, God is still glorified because you decided not to allow the circumstances to dictate what your attitude would be. Attitude makes the difference. You know, when it comes to our lives as disciples, Thank God we're saved. But to fulfill, to experience the full fulfillment of this life, you've got to have the right attitude. Some people are Christians and are still miserable because they've not adopted the attitude of Christ. Others, they're going through trying circumstances and things are not working out too well, whether it's health or finances or whatever. And you see them and they're filled with joy and you're going, how can that be? Why don't you join me in my pity party? How can you be? Stop it. Stop being so happy. And they've realized and they've understood that I cannot allow my circumstances to dictate what my attitude would be. Here's a quote. Attitude, not aptitude, determines altitude. How high you're going to go as a Christian, how high you're going to go in life, it's not necessarily dependent on how smart you are, even how blessed you are, or how financially well off you are. A lot of it depends on what you are on the inside. Paul and Silas decided that they weren't going to allow the external to determine what happened internally. And so I want us to think about attitude in three areas real quickly: in trials, in relationships, and in outreach. These are three important areas of our lives. And as we talk about, first of all, trials, you're going to have trials in your life. And all of us, God has destined us to go through different types of trials. I don't know what yours may be. And you may not know what mine may be, but I'm telling you, in this life, there will be struggle. There will be trouble. And our attitude and how we deal with those things will make all the difference in how we get through them and whether God is glorified in them or not. You know, this scene could have been very different. You know, Silas could have turned to Paul and went, dude, why, man? Why you want to heal that girl? You know what? If you hadn't healed her and you hadn't exercised this spirit, we wouldn't be here right now. Always trying to do something good. What's wrong with you, man? Just let's let the girl go on and keep making money. And then Paul could have said, well, let's sing. No, I don't feel like singing. Let's pray. I don't feel like praying. Because of you, we're in this bad predicament. That's not the attitude that they have. The Bible says they're both singing and praying to God. They were severely flogged. They weren't feeling that good. They were put in the inner cell. Their feet were fastened in the stocks. And they could have been sitting there going, why me? I don't deserve this. This is not what I signed up for. You told me that when I got baptized that I would get 100 times as much in this present age. Oh, but it does say persecution's in there too, doesn't it? If you go back and read the scripture. You see, but we've got to imitate them and learn from them that even in tough circumstances, we can give glory to God and we can have victory. As a matter of fact, the difficulties in your life are the greatest opportunities for you to grow and for you to glorify God. You don't grow without struggle. You don't grow without resistance. And so a lot of times people get stuck because they're sitting there questioning the problem rather than fighting through it and realizing God is trying to teach me something here. He's refining me. He's using me, changing me, helping me to be transformed into the image of Jesus. You know, we hold up Jesus as the perfecter of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we want to be like him, don't we?
Yes.
In order to be like him, you've got to be willing to go through some of what he went through. We can't become like Jesus on the easy road. Sometimes we have to endure the difficult road. Here's another quote. I can't always choose what happens to me, but I can choose what happens in me.
Wow.
See, I have to choose every day what my attitude is going to be. When I got up out of the bed this morning, which I really didn't feel like doing because it was cold outside, I had to choose. Are you gonna get up and have a great day? Or are you gonna sit there and slumber? You have to choose. You know, when you go to work tomorrow, you gotta choose. How am I gonna be on the job today? Am I going to be thankful that I even have a job, even though they're underpaying me and they don't appreciate me? How am I going to have, what attitude am I going to have on this job? You choose that. No one else can choose that for you. And so I've decided I can't allow what happens to me to choose what happens in me. I decide what happens in me. And what I've decided is that I'm going to have the attitude of Christ. You know, my wife, Cynthia, I'm sorry she couldn't be here today. She's down in Florida. And I wish I was with her because there's about a 40-degree difference between here and there. But, you know, when you go home, you face challenges. And we're on the phone every day, and she's down there to help one of her sisters. And one of the things I'm proudest of my wife is that January 31st, she celebrated her her spiritual birthday, her 44th year as a disciple. 44 years. And in those 44 years, she's never strayed. She's never walked away from the Lord. But there have been some challenging times. And one of the greatest challenges has been family. You know, there's a time in her family, she's the oldest the youngest of five sisters. And one time in her family, three of the sisters were all members of the Lord's church, all members of the same fellowship. Now, I'm not here to judge them or to decide what their spiritual fate is in case they're listening to this message one day. But what I am saying is that those were good times, you know, when most of your relatives, most of your siblings are disciples and you're going to church together. But that's not the case today. She's the only one. And so there she's there to serve. She's there to meet needs. But emotionally, sometimes it gets difficult. And so I'm trying to encourage her and tell her to keep praying. But what I've seen is in those 44 years, she keeps moving forward. She does not allow the situation to keep her from focusing on Christ. And what we've got to understand is there are going to be trials. You may face health trials. You may feel like, man, I'm feeling so good right now. You know, I can run a 6-minute mile, 7-minute mile, whatever. Some of us, we can't even dream of walking a mile. Our health is so bad. You may face financial trials. You know, I don't know. It may just come upon you. Even though the economy is doing better, maybe your personal economy is not doing that well. You know, you may go to the ATM and it laughs at you when you try to get money out. And it just goes, my goodness, what did you come here for? You know, it's like wrong place, wrong time. You know, you may face relationship trials. You know, you may fall in love and then fall out of love. You know, you may have a conflict with some disciple. You know, that may be church leadership that just takes you to a place that it's like, Lord, help me to continue to even want to come to church. But you've got to decide in all these things that I'm not going to allow what happens to me to choose what happens in me. I'm going to continue to be faithful to God. I'm going to continue to trust in God. And my attitude is going to be the Lord is with me. Therefore, I'm going to continue to do what's right. It's not easy. And I'm here to tell you, you will be challenged in 2018. And the test will be, will your attitude be like that of Christ? Or will you give in to the temptation to give in to self and to give in to your emotions? You know, Paul wrote to the Philippians some 10 years after that initial imprisonment. He found himself in a Roman prison writing a letter to the disciples at Philippi. And this is what he said to them. As he sat there in prison, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I mean, he's going back. He's remembering when he and Silas were in prison, and this was the attitude they had. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he could write this because he lived it. Mm-hmm. Says, and he's telling them now, you should rejoice in the Lord always, because that's what we did. And when you find yourself in that dungeon, in that place where there seems to be no way out, he says, present your request to God. What do you think they were praying and singing about? Right. They were praying, Lord, deliver us. Lord, I know my Jesus, he can fix it. Trouble's in my way. Lord, fix this. And the Lord came through. He always comes through, maybe not at our timetable, but he comes through. He comes through. He comes through in these situations. He comes through when the rent is due. Maybe he might not come through until an hour before it's due, but he always comes through. What is your reputation as a disciple? Are you a winner or a whiner? Are you grateful or are you grumbling? What's your reputation? You know, I love to watch some of these old Western movies because, you know, as they're dealing with the different Native Americans, their names meant something. Dances with wolves. You know, that means that someone saw you dancing with wolves, you know, or whatever. I mean, what's your spiritual name today? Are you joyful or are you grumpy? I mean, are you faithful? Are you faithless? What's your attitude? Where we go in this life when it deals us a bad hand will reveal how deep our faith is. Amen. And if indeed we do have the attitude of Christ in trials. Let me hit these others here. In relationships. Now you go back to Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas have a dispute. Barnabas chooses John Mark. The Bible says Paul chose Silas. He chose Silas to be his companion to go with him on his missionary journeys. See, the company we choose affects our attitudes. I mean, if you walk with the wise, the Bible says you grow wise. But if you walk with stupid people, they'll bring down your IQ. They will. Attitudes are contagious. They're contagious. I mean, it would have been more difficult to make it through this prison situation if Paul or Silas had a bad attitude. It just would have made it harder. It would have been, not that one of them couldn't have made it, it would have been, come on, dude. And don't you realize how hard this is for me? And there you're sitting over there sulking. Right. But if someone else is encouraging and upbeat, it helps you. Yeah. Yes. You know, this past week, I spent a couple of hours with a good friend. And most of the time was me listening and him talking. But he needed encouragement. And he needed someone to lift up his spirits. And I didn't flatter him, but I did let him know God is using you. God believes in you. God is working in your life. Brother, you're doing great. Keep fighting a good fight. And he walked away feeling uplifted. I still had to pay for my meal, but he did walk out feeling better. Who is your Silas? Who is that for you? The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, it says that we're to encourage one another. How often? Daily. Encourage one another. I don't know a disciple alive who doesn't need encouragement. And couldn't use it every day. Even someone as zealous and optimistic and joyful as Arlene Markowski needs encouragement. Trust me. She needs encouragement. And we need to give it to one another. We need to go out of our way to build each other up. Because it affects our attitude. Look, it's hard living the Christian life sometimes. It's hard living the Christian life as a single, striving to be pure, striving to be righteous, striving to be content. When I come to church, I need you to build me up and tell me it's all right. You're doing a good job. Instead of saying, you know what, you can run faster. You can be more spiritual. You can be more godly. What's wrong with you? No, that's not what I come here for. I come here to be built up. You know, it's hard even in marriage. Sometimes people think marriage is a promised land. Let me tell you what, marriage can be a trying land too. It can be a difficult land. I mean, I think it's great. I encourage it, but look, be careful. Be careful what you pray for. And married people need encouragement. Because when you can get two sinners in a confined environment, sparks fly. And you know, and it's even smaller here in Manhattan. It's not like you can go downstairs. Where are you going to go? It's like they're right there in front of you. and you got to deal with things, and you need encouragement in your marriage. Am I right, brothers? You need encouragement. You know, ask the wives. You know, you need encouragement. Look, you love that woman as Christ loved the church, you know, to present her radiant in Christ. Amen, bro. Amen. Amen. Help me, bro. Help me, bro. I mean, wives, submit to your husband. What? Submit? Submit? What you talking about? I mean, it's like, yeah, hang in there. It'll work out. Show him the love of Christ. Encouragement helps your attitude. That's why you need to be at every church service.
That's right.
You can't get encouraged when you're home alone in your apartment. Yeah. Says, well, Sam, I'm watching it on the TV. I'm watching the video. Well, the video doesn't help me to see you. Most communication is nonverbal. I know where you are by looking at you, not just by listening to you. You could be on the phone going, I'm feeling awesome. I'm so glad you called. It's the nonverbal, man. When I, you know, some of us, we're so close, we can tell when someone walks in the room how they're doing spiritually. Come here, girl. What is wrong with you? What happened? What happened last night? What happened on that date? Go ahead, tell me what happened. Was it really that bad? Forgive him and let's move on. Let's move on. We need to be here to lift up each other's spirit. Am I right? I mean, when you're sitting on the road with somebody, reach over and build them up. Man, if the girl is looking nice, she went out of her way. She got new shoes. She got new dress. She got on new makeup. She got new hair. She got new everything. Encourage her. Encourage her. Am I right? Build her up. Don't act like you don't notice. Wow, you look good today. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Same thing with the brothers. We need encouragement. And because it changes our attitude. When you walk out of church, you need to go, I am ready to take on the world. And I can make it all the way to Wednesday. And then I come and I get my, am I right? I get my batteries recharged. Then I can make it all the way to Sunday. I mean, it's like, but good, strong Christians are in touch with other disciples every day. Encourage one another every day. You know, this past year, I took on a 52-day challenge to encourage a disciple every day. From the Nehemiah, I was reading, studying the book of Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Okay. And I sent emails to different brothers all throughout the kingdom. And some of the responses I got encouraged me more than I encouraged them. Well, they said, thank you for thinking about me and praying for me. And the Bible goes on to tell us, says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Yes. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, and a crooked and depraved generation. Now, if we can have this attitude, he says, well, Sam, what do you mean? Are you trying to shut me up? Are you trying to say that I can't say what I think? No, this is not what this scripture is about. Right. Now, there are times when we do need to say, this is not good. This is not right. You know, I went to BBQ's a couple of weeks ago, and I ordered some soup and I ordered some cornbread. And when I got home, the cornbread, which I was looking forward to, was not in the bag. And so it says, well, Sam, did you practice Philippians 2:14? You better believe I did. I called them up and said, you forgot to put my corn. I did it courteously. I did it politely. I said, but I paid for my cornbread and I want it. And so they didn't bring it to me, but they did give me credit. Instead of two cornbreads, they gave me credit for five cornbreads. And so, but through it all, I had the attitude of Christ. If you leave here and you go to lunch afterward and your food comes back cold, he doesn't say, well, the Lord said, do not complain, eat the cold food. No, you tell him, I don't want this in the spirit of the Lord with joy, you know, with respect. I'm not paying for this. Can you get me another? But what he's really talking about, he's talking about your attitude in adversity. That's what God wants to know. What is your attitude when the hardships come your way? And all of us are going to have different degrees of adversity. And that's where God wants to know, will you do everything without complaining or arguing when I take you through adversity? And some adversities are harder than others. Some of us want to be married, and we're going through adversity. And I don't know, it's nothing wrong with praying about that and desiring that. But as you go through that time of adversity, you've got to do it without complaining or arguing. Some of us are facing real health issues right now. And others may not have that, but that's your adversity. You've got to go through it without complaining or arguing. Whatever else it may be, I don't know what it is for you. And there may be something that comes up this year that you never anticipated. But God wants to know, can you do it with the attitude of Christ? Amen. Go through it without complaining or arguing to his glory. Yes. And then finally, let me hit one more point on relationships here. Because of Paul's spirit, he said to the Philippians, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged, most of them, not all of them, most of them have been encouraged to preach the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Yes. When you go through adversity with the attitude of Christ, it inspires me.
Yes.
It encourages me.
That's right.
You know, I did a brother's funeral a couple of weeks ago. I guess it's been a month ago. Mm-hmm. Jolly and Anthony, challenging situation. His wife, Anna, they've been married a year and a half. But Anna had been engaged before.
Yep.
And the brother she was engaged to before died before they got married.
Yep.
And now she's married, and a year and a half after marriage, her husband dies. Mm-hmm. That's adversity. Who am I to think I'm going through anything? When I think about what people like that are going through. But seeing her spirit and her attitude makes me get up and say, I can rejoice in the Lord today. Good attitudes are contagious. Bad attitudes are as well. But I want you to influence me through your relationship with God to have the best attitude for Christ I can possibly have. And then finally, in outreach. In outreach. You know, our mission in this life is to try to help someone else find the good news that we found. We are to glorify God in all that we do, and that is our overall purpose for being put on this planet, is that I want to honor God in all I do. But we also want to help more people come to know the truth, because there are people who don't know what you know, haven't seen what you've seen, are not motivated in a greater way by the love of Christ, as we've been blessed to be motivated. And here Paul and Silas, because of their attitude, God opens a door. Because of their faith, others become disciples of Jesus. And he says that here they are, that they're going through this, and the jailer comes out. He's about to kill himself because he knows the penalty for prisoners escaping. And Paul says, whoa, wait a minute, don't do that. Everybody's here. Nobody's gone. We're all here. And when Paul and Silas get the chair with him and his family, the Bible says, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. You know, I want to help us with something here as we come to a close. You can't make anybody be saved. Only God can bring the increase. And I think sometimes we talk about personal fruit. I guess if there's personal fruit, then there's impersonal fruit. I don't know. It's God's fruit.
Yes.
God wants to use us as instruments to help people come to Christ. And you just can't fabricate it. You can't just go out and say, I'm going to make that happen. But what you can do is have the attitude of Christ wherever you go. You see, there are people watching.
Yeah.
You may not even know. I remember the first person I ever brought to Christ outside of my family was a guy by the name of Mike Bullock. And I went back to a dorm. I switched dorms because I was looking to go party more with one of my good buddies. And I came back to my old dorm to invite all my friends, and guys to come to church. And I went in the room, and instead of inviting this one guy, there were a bunch of guys there. And they turned on me. Oh, man, they were not good to me. And they slammed the door in my face as I walked in. And so the next day, this guy comes up to me, and he says, "I'd like to come to your church." And I went, "Who are you?" He says, "Well, I was up on the bunk while you were having that interaction with the guys in the room." I said, "Oh, okay, all right." And so he came to church. He got baptized. I tried to look him up on Facebook. He is on Facebook. Hope we can get reconnected. But God used that situation to help someone get to Christ. And I didn't even realize he was even in the room. You see, there are people watching you on your job. Just have the attitude of Christ. Don't do it because if I do this, then all these people will come to church. No, do it for God.
Amen.
Do it for God. You know, raise your children with the attitude of Christ because someone might be watching. They might be watching when they're driving you crazy and they see, wow, you were calm. You didn't lose your mind. You didn't want to go jump off a bridge because these little gremlins are getting the best of you. You know, the attitude of Christ everywhere you go. You know, when you're standing in that long line at the grocery store and everybody, you're like, "I'm relieved that the line this long." Man, I'm just thankful there's a line where I can get something to eat. Because there are people that can't get in the line like this. And so you have the attitude of Christ and you never know when it might happen. You know, my daughter, a co-worker, is coming to church right now. And it's because of her attitude. The guys ask her, "Well, why are you coming to church? Are you interested in her?" He says, "Well, I did ask her out on a date. But she told me, you're not a disciple. They knew each other. And therefore, there's no opportunity here." The answer is no. All right, that's what she told him, okay? But he said, "But she was different." And so he's coming to church. He's studying, but I don't know if he's going to become a Christian or not. And I don't envision him being her future husband. But all I'm saying is, it's like, But the attitude of Christ, you never know. You never know. Somebody is watching. And really, most of all, who's watching? God is watching. God is watching. So stop worrying about, well, how many did I meet or did I do it the right way? No, just have the attitude of Christ everywhere you go. Every situation, every place. When you're on the train, just have the attitude of Christ. Smile a little bit. Maybe somebody will go, "Are you okay? Is something wrong? You know what's going on in this world? Times are hard." Well, no, I know something you don't know. I know someone you don't know. His name is Jesus. And I'm striving to have his attitude. And as we come to a close here, Philippians 1:27 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens, I don't know what's going to happen in 2018. I don't know what struggle you're going to have to go through, what challenge you may have to face. I don't know. But whatever happens, you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It will make a difference. It may be the difference in whether you get through it or not. More important than what you will accomplish this year is the attitude you will decide to have each and every day this year. God will bring the blessings in his due time. But you make sure that as we attempt to do something new, that I'm going to make sure that I have a new attitude, the attitude of Christ. In trials, in relationships, and in outreach. Amen. And may God be glorified. Thank you. Yes.